Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Vice President Vance is in Israel to shore up the somewhat shaky ceasefire in Gaza, where more than 40 Palestinians were killed on Tuesday in retaliation for what Israel says is the Hamas-directed killing of two IDF soldiers on Monday. Demolition crews began tearing apart White House walls on Monday to make way for the new Trump Ballroom. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio is in Washington.
The remodel has been met with criticism from some Democrats. One senator writing, quote, "Seeing the White House torn apart is really emblematic of the times we're in." The White House firing back, saying, quote, "Losers who are quick to criticize need to stop their pearl clutching and understand the building needs to be modernized."
The new ballroom will be 90,000 square feet, bigger than the White House residence itself. An appeals court has overturned a temporary restraining order that prevented the Trump administration from deploying the National Guard to Portland. Government shutdown now entering week number four. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is sharing tips with residents to highlight National Teen Driver Safety Week. According to a press release, traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for teens in the United States. Wisconsin saw nearly 19,000 crashes involving teen drivers last year, leading to 70 fatalities and nearly 6,000 injuries. DOT officials are reminding parents that proper training and practice for young drivers is crucial for safety, and the DMV's online teen portal offers various resources for driver safety programs. Another Republican candidate has entered the field for lieutenant governor in 2026. On Monday, small business owner Will Martin officially announced his candidacy for the race, joining former mayor of Lancaster David Varnum in the Republican primary field. Martin ran for the position in 2022 but fell short in the primary. He also previously worked under former Republican governors Scott Walker and Tommy Thompson. On the Democratic side, only Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski has announced her campaign for lieutenant governor. The Ashland Police Department has announced a suspect was arrested on Saturday after allegedly making terrorist threats and bomb scares. According to law enforcement authorities, the suspect called a Superior Choice Credit Union location just before noon on Saturday, claiming that he had placed a possible explosive device in his own safety deposit box. Authorities brought in the Marathon County Bomb Squad to examine the building, which determined that there was no explosive device. The suspect was booked into the Ashland County Jail soon after. Duluth Mayor Roger Reinert is proposing a moratorium on licensing for short-term rental properties amid rising housing costs. Like many other municipalities across the region, Duluth is struggling with a shortage of available housing, contributing to higher housing prices as well as workforce shortages. Mayor Reinert says they've seen a significant increase in the number of single-family homes being converted into short-term rental properties, further constraining the city's housing stock issues. The license moratorium on those units would last for 1 year. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The future for Luke Fickell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers play the number 6th-ranked Oregon Ducks Saturday night in Eugene. The Badgers are 2-5, losing 5 games in a row. Luke Fickell was asked if he knows yet if he'll be back next year at Wisconsin.
No, I don't think any of us have a crystal ball. I've never asked the question. It's not something that I can dwell upon. It's not something that I can't tell you that it's not something that doesn't. You don't think about.
Chris McIntosh, the Badgers athletic director, releasing a statement saying Wisconsin remains supporting Fickell in his role as the head football coach. NFL. The Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh Sunday night. Linebacker Isaiah McDuffie on what he was most proud of in their win over Arizona.
You know, that's what we've been talking about since the start of the season, you know, just finishing. Finishing throughout the entire week. That's what we emphasized, and, you know, we got the opt to finish, and we did it.
That's linebacker Isaiah McDuffie with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Coats and umbrellas needed today, blustery and much colder with scattered showers developing in the afternoon, highs only in the mid-40s. Those scattered showers continue this evening, still breezy, low temperatures in the mid-30s. It's 35 at our studios.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and podcast host Jimmy Pardo, then Mission 1 Billion co-founders Rex Sykes and Rocky Wagonhurst join the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Chihuahua, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening to us by podcast or on the website, watching us on Facebook or YouTube. Thanks for starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Would it be okay with you if your mail and your email were to be delayed by days or weeks so that every letter and message could be checked by a government agency to make sure that there was nothing in there that might be fraudulent? That makes no sense, right? I mean, if someone commits fraud using mail or email, there are already penalties that don't require something so unwieldy. I will tell you in just a few minutes how that connects to something that Attorney General Josh Call has done when it comes to what a Waukesha County judge wants the Wisconsin Elections Commission to do. That's coming up in just a little bit. And of course, along the way, you can join the show here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Use that Civic Media app and you can call us that way. You can text us that way. You can leave us a voice note that way as well. Also on the program today, we'll be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong. I interviewed her Sunday as she was passing through the Chippewa Valley as part of her campaign for governor. I'll tell you more of what's coming up along the way, but first we have to say hi to Parker Olson, who is producing this fine little shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Mr. Olson, how are you?
Doing pretty well, Pat. I had a nice little night last night of watching a little bit of Game 7 and then realizing I don't need to care about it anymore because I don't have any rooting interest, and I'm just kind of sad about baseball.
I did mention having friends who are Mariners fans, and they were at that big game five a few nights back, and they are heartbroken this morning. The Mariners were well on their way to their first ever World Series in Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. It all came crashing down in the seventh inning when Toronto's George Springer hit a three-run homer that made the difference in the Blue Jays beating the Mariners 4-3. On Monday night. So Toronto will now go on to play the LA Dodgers starting Friday. And I mean, honestly, it's not just us. It's not just because we lost to the Brewers, but the question everywhere is, you know, who doesn't think the Dodgers are going to win in four, you know, at this point?
Don't talk like that, Pat.
I'm just saying, no, I would actually, how much better though would you feel if the Dodgers won the World Series in four? It would make things feel better, right? Because you'd be like, yep, that was the team.
Yeah,
Whereas if Toronto takes it to like seven games or even fewer and beats them, then it's going to be like, why couldn't we do that? Now suddenly it's back on us, our hitters who couldn't hit, our pitchers who couldn't hit their marks. You
know? But I think I know that we were bad. So
we I'm not going to say bad. I'm going to say we were off. We weren't at our at our best. How's that?
Sure.
I mean, if I keep talking like this, can I be the head coach of the Badger football team? I'm just going to keep making excuses here. Whatever it takes.
I mean, if you're as optimistic as you need to be, maybe you can.
I didn't say I was optimistic. I'm just saying I know what to say in this particular situation. Can you tell that I've either worked in politics or sports at some point? Because this is the way that we talk in those businesses. You know, we're going to give it 110% and just leave it all out there on the field. And yeah. So there you go. There's your World Series. So you watched a little bit of Game 7.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Again, it starts Friday, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, if it's on, I'll dip into it. It's not appointment viewing, but I'm now curious to see if the Dodgers were that much of a juggernaut or if we were just off. And that's just the appetizer for what follows a couple of days later when the Packers take on Aaron Rodgers for the first time. We never actually got to play him when he was on the Jets because of that whole, you know, getting his leg ripped off thing or whatever happened, you know, a few seconds into his time with the Jets. But now he's healthy. He's with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We will be playing that in Sunday night football.
Oh, that's right. It's a Sunday night game.
It's a Sunday night game. So.
I did see someone post. I don't remember if I said this yesterday. I did see someone post after Love took a pretty hard hit on one of his runs yesterday that the Sunday night football producers just had a heart attack.
I know which hit you're talking about. It's like, oh no. And yet at our local watering hole where we're watching the game, like for one or two runs of Love's prior to that, he slid, as most quarterbacks do, you know, and he slid just short of the first down mark. And you could hear the crowd kind of like, oh, come on, you gotta go for it. And then, of course, the one time he does kind of go for it, he gets smashed. And everybody immediately regrets their decision to yell at him about sliding. Yeah, you should just go ahead and slide, you know. So Roger and Stevens Point says Toronto will put up more of a fight than the Brewers, but he says Dodgers in five. Okay, so we have that prediction from Roger on that one there.
I was going to say six.
That's fine. You can say that, you know. I mean, you and Roger, you, there's no wagering on this. I mean, if Roger's right, if it's five, I mean, he gets to produce the show for a day and you go up to Stevens Point and send us notes. That's it.
Fine by me.
All right. Let's see. I mentioned that coming up today, we'll be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong. We also will be talking to Steve Bowe. He's part of a group that is promoting, advocating, and really touting the way that wind and solar and battery capture power is catching on all across rural Wisconsin. I mean, we are talking so much investment that is being made in the state that we'll tell you about at 7:35 this morning. It is Tuesday, of course, so Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor will be here, and we'll talk a bit about the governor's race, especially after my conversation with Francesca Hong that you'll hear just after the 7 o'clock news. Cam Stevenson will be along, and he'll be live from Washington, D.C., Courier Newsroom's Capitol Hill correspondent, where the only people that seem to be getting any work done these days in Washington, and I don't know if you saw the photo or the video on this, Parker, the only people getting the work done are the demolition crew who are tearing down the east facade of the White House. Hello, metaphor alert.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
The White House is being dismantled so that Trump can put up his gilded ballroom.
I didn't realize that they were actually like destroying stuff. I thought it was just building next door.
You weren't supposed to know. He said he promised it wouldn't. He told
really?
People,
oh,
yes. Yes. That's why it was so surprising yesterday to see a wrecking crew take to the facade of the White House. Again, metaphor alert. I mean, there's just a few more Americans where I just want to say, get there faster. You know,
Pat, I try to stay pretty unbiased on this show, but sometimes it's hard not to give views.
Well, when a guy promises you, I'm not going to touch it, and then starts to bring in a demolition crew, and now part of the White House, one side of it is torn apart, you can see where people would go, wait a minute, that's not what he said. to which, again, a lot of us are like, yeah, yeah, get there faster. Serial liar. So we've got that going for us, which is fun. We're also going to talk to Dan Hagen from WJFW-TV in Rhinelander, Newswatch 12. We'll talk to James Kelly, civic media reporter here in the Chippewa Valley. And in today's history lesson, we've got Elvis, we've got Meatloaf, we've got Taylor Swift, and we've got Kim Kardashian.
What more could you want?
I know. So if you can't stick around for all of this, from the history lesson on down through all those great guests, well, I mean, you know what to do about that. Follow us as a podcast. Get over to Spotify or Apple. Follow us. And then that way, when you would prefer to listen on demand or listen back to a program, it's going to be right there. Again, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, will be where you can find Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, on the Civic Media Radio Network. Temperatures around the state right now, it is chilly. It is 36 right now in Rhinelander. It is 36 in Merrill. Let's see, that's a pop-up ad, so I can't tell you where the temperature is there. It's 45 down in the Milwaukee area. It is 43 in Oshkosh and in the Chippewa Valley. So just lots and lots of 30s throughout the northern half of Wisconsin. I would imagine, Parker, you have started with the wearing a jacket to work routine.
I have not, Pat.
Oh, not
no,
yet.
Okay. I spend a grand total of about 25 seconds outside. So
okay. Gotcha.
I try to avoid needing to bring more things than necessary.
Oh. Okay, gotcha. Oh, hey, did you know that you can subscribe on YouTube as well? Look, this from Tony. Tony says, fun fact, if you hit the subscribe button under this show on YouTube, it lights up with rainbow colors. Click it to see.
Oh, I didn't know that. You should try it.
Like right here live on the radio?
I meant the listeners to try it. But you
oh,
can,
oh,
you can,
oh, truly. I see.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd have to head over to the, I'm so used to being on the Up North News YouTube page, since they pay me, that I'll have to head over to the Civic Media page and try that out. Yeah. Or we find out that Tony is just pulling our leg. But Tony hasn't lied to us before.
No, never. Never once.
Why would he start now?
Why
yeah. Okay, well, good. Well, let's see. What else did I want to tell you about? Oh, we've got, of course, Badger Sports. Yeah, the football team, they play at Oregon on Saturday, yeah. 6 p.m. You can listen to the pregame starting at 4 p.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. I forget that I mentioned the Packers play Pittsburgh Sunday night. It's a 7:20 game. The pregame starts at 5 p.m. on several Civic Media stations, Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and the newest Packers affiliate, WAUH in Wautoma. Again, 5 p.m. Sunday for the pregame on that. But getting back to Badger sports here for a second, the women's volleyball team, they're ninth ranked in the country, 13-3, and they are out west Friday night to take on Washington. That's a 9 p.m. match for the volleyball team Friday night in Washington. But it's already time to start talking about the basketball season and as well as hockey. Yes. I guess I wasn't quite set to go with those things yet, but the NBA starts their season tomorrow. The NHL isn't far behind, right? So
I believe the NHL has already started.
I get. Oh, you're right. It was. I saw there was a game on yesterday.
Yeah, I think
Wild
last week
playing somebody. So yeah. So here we are, and I suppose with temperatures in the 30s this morning, it kind of has that turn the page feel to it. So
yeah.
The Badger men's basketball team is in action this coming Friday. It's an exhibition match. It's at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee as part of the Bad Boy Mower Series.
It'll take on
Oklahoma at 7 p.m. And you can catch the pregame starting at 6:30 on stations in Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, and Richland Center. And you're saying, well, wait a minute, Pat, tell us more about the Bad Boy Mower Series. I looked. It's like just a collection of sporadic games around the country that apparently Bad Boy Mowers is sponsoring. So they get to call it the Bad Boy Mower Series. It doesn't appear to be a tournament. I don't know if you win a golden lawnmower or what it is, but there will be an exhibition game against Oklahoma Saturday for the Badger men's basketball team. Then next Wednesday, there's an exhibition at the Kohl Center versus UW-Platteville, followed by the season opener Monday, November 3rd at the Kohl Center versus the Campbell University Fighting Camels.
I love the Campbell Camels.
I've never heard of Campbell University till this morning, a private Christian university in Buies Creek, North Carolina, enrollment 5,000.
All-time so, great mascot.
Yes, the Fighting Camels. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tomorrow on the program, we will welcome Ellie Bordeaux, who puts together our news or newsletter. You can get it every weekday morning at upnorthnewswi.com, and I'll tell you all about what's in today's issue of the newsletter in just a couple of moments here. But first, I wanted to go over one of the headlines from yesterday, where State Attorney General Josh Call filed an appeal in a court case where a Waukesha County judge has tried to throw a big old wrench into next year's elections. I mean, perhaps plunging next spring's elections into chaos over something not necessary. Unless you're a conservative who believes that scare tactics are the only way that you can win an election. That seems to be the only justification for this. If you want to learn more, Molly Beck from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a great story about it that she's put up. And it's all about appealing the order by Waukesha County Circuit Judge Michael Maxwell from earlier this month that says the Wisconsin Elections Commission must review the state's voter rolls to determine whether anyone who is not a U.S. citizen is registered to vote. Call is saying that is not needed. There's been no evidence presented of irreparable harm or failing to notify even one non-citizen who had voted or registered to vote in a Wisconsin election. And yet, Maxwell initially ordered election officials to verify the citizenship of any new registrants as well, but agreed to hold off on that portion of the decision, but is still making the state, if this order were to hold, go back into the voter rolls and check on 3.6 million people in the voter rolls and somehow check their citizenship status. Now, he doesn't exactly say how. The judge says, well, the DOT has records. Well, yeah, but not every undocumented immigrant has a driver's license. So there's really no mechanism to do this. And the Wisconsin Elections Commission has said, we do not have the resources to check the citizenship status of 3.6 million people before the next election, which is the spring primary election next February 18th. The judge, Maxwell, said in his ruling that the Elections Commission is, quote, violating state and federal statutes by maintaining an election system that potentially allows individuals onto the voter rolls who may not be lawfully entitled to cast a vote in Wisconsin. Wow, the word potentially is doing a lot of heavy lifting in there. There is no evidence at all that non-citizens are voting, and certainly not in bigger numbers big enough to swing elections. As we seem to have to note over and over and over again for folks in the back row and the far right of the auditorium, why would someone undocumented try to vote and risk being caught and deported? In what fantasy of yours is that an actual thing? As noted in Molly Beck's story, state law currently requires voters to attest that they are U.S. citizens. It does not require elections officials to obtain proof, and yet that's what the judge is doing, which, like I said, is a big project to take on to retroactively check the citizenship status of 3.6 million voters. Maxwell said this in his decision, quote, if one non-citizen is present on the voter rolls and thus can cast even one unlawful vote, there can be no doubt as to the injury to every other lawful voter in Wisconsin whose lawfully cast vote could be canceled. Were this to happen to a Wisconsin citizen, the damage to the right to cast a lawful ballot would be irreparable, and there is no other remedy available at law to cure it. Drama much? Can we please bring this back to reality? Let's, shall we? In this case, in the example I'm about to give you, the State Elections Commission is the U.S. Post Office, okay? It delivers all the mail that comes in and appears to be properly addressed. Even the mail that it turns out falls under the category of mail fraud. Think of scams against the elderly, the infamous Nigerian prince inheritance, telling veterans about non-existent benefits, pyramid schemes, sham vacation rental offers, and so on. They all get delivered because the post office delivers the mail. If someone is caught doing something illicit through the mail, that's mail fraud. They get charged and punished. Everyone else gets no disruption in their mail delivery. So now imagine if Judge Maxwell were Postmaster General and he were to say this. You know, if one piece of mail defrauds an American, there can be no doubt as to the injury to every other American whose mail might also be fraudulent. Were this to happen, the damage would be irreparable and there is no other remedy to cure it. And so the post office would have to somehow put the brakes on delivering the mail until they can somehow create a process that ensures that nothing that constitutes mail fraud goes out. Or hear me out here, you go after the mail fraud and the voter fraud when there is evidence of a potential crime. Look, I don't know that everyone would agree on whether any particular judge qualifies as a so-called activist judge. But I think if you're answering the question in the blind, most folks would say that creating a solution in search of a problem probably checks that box. And that's what we have in this order by the Waukesha County judge. And it is why Attorney General Josh Call is making that appeal. And tangentially to this conversation, what we said last week, as first mentioned by Dan Schaefer during his visit last Tuesday, Josh Call decided not to run for governor and decided instead to run for a third term as Wisconsin Attorney General. And that can turn out to be a very good thing for the state, because without a strong attorney general who is focused on the law as it relates to the real lives of Wisconsin residents, you risk having an attorney general, as well as a governor, legislators, and everybody else, who insist on trying to bring politics into every aspect of our lives, no matter how much it may inconvenience all the rest of us, so that they can push through or ram through a partisan political agenda. Today's history lesson is on the way with the aforementioned Kim Kardashian meatloaf and Elvis and more.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
One offhand comment from the president took beef prices lower on Friday, and now cattle organizations are responding. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. President Trump made an offhand comment about bringing in Argentinian beef to try to help lower consumer beef prices here in the United States. Well, the markets reacted immediately, and now the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is reacting. Colin Woodall is the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Well, we are extremely concerned with the plan, but probably more importantly, we are just flat disappointed that this is the approach that the president has taken. We understand what he is trying to do, but what he does not realize is that in trying to bring the price of beef down for the consumer, it means he's going to bring down the price being paid for cattle for U.S. producers. So in effect, this is a direct attack on U.S. cattle producers, and it negates so much of the work that we have done over the years to build the overall quality of our product.
Colin Woodall, he is the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Woodall goes on to say that there are no details of the offhand comments President Trump made aboard Air Force One, but the markets nonetheless have pushed cattle prices lower. What's happening in overnight electronic trade on a Tuesday morning? I've got numbers next.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
No USDA milk report for the month of September because of the government shutdown. Barrel cheese was up a quarter at 177 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese up two at 179 and a half. The AA butter down a penny and a half at 158 a pound. November class 3 milk's up a penny at 1703. December corn's unchanged. November soybeans are up four at 1035. July wheat down a penny right now, 543 a bushel. Just a quick market snapshot on a Tuesday morning. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Coats and umbrellas needed today. Blustery and much colder, with scattered showers developing in the afternoon. Highs only in the mid-40s. Those scattered showers continue this evening. Still breezy. Low temperatures in the mid-30s. Current temperature is 37.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Why is it that President Trump cares more about bailing out Argentinian farmers than he does about Wisconsin soybean farmers? We'll explain the connection.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Let's start today's history lesson with a birthday, and that would be rock and roll blues guitarist Elvin Bishop, who is 83 years old today. This is not Elvin Bishop singing. I know, for the longest time, like since 1976, people have heard Elvin Bishop's Fooled Around and Fell in Love and thought that was Elvin Bishop singing. No, Elvin Bishop is the guitarist and wrote the song, but the song that peaked at number 3 in 1976 features Mickey Thomas on lead and Donnie Baldwin on the drums that kicked off the song. And then both of them, shortly after this, would go on to join Jefferson Starship. But first, played this song for Elvin Bishop, who today turns 83 years old. Only 2 years younger than someone else on the birthday list today, that would be Manfred Mann.
There she was, just walking down the street singing.
Manfred Mann, 85 years old today. He was born Manfred Lubowitz to a Lithuanian Jewish family in South Africa. He went into music. He hit it big with a couple of cover songs. This is actually a cover song. Do Wah Diddy Diddy had been released by a different group a couple of years earlier. And then he released this version actually the week after I was born, in July of 1964. And then he also had a hit with Blinded by the Light, which was actually written by Bruce Springsteen. He is still touring at age 85.
Oh, God.
Still touring as Manfred Mann's Earth Band. Yes. On this day, and this, by the way, we mentioned Do Wah Diddy Diddy the other day. We were talking about novelty songs that had charted. Another novelty song charted back on this day in 1972, Chuck Berry. And it was his only number one hit with a novelty song, My Ding-a-Ling. And that's all I can tell you is the name of the song. We ain't playing it, and I'm not saying it anymore, but that was Chuck Berry, number one this week in 1972.
I had a question, and you answered it for me, so thank you, Pat.
It's an entertaining little song that we're not playing on the radio, but you should go listen, yes. The anniversary of the birth of legendary jazz trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie. He was born in South Carolina this day in 1917, passed away in 1993. On this day in 1957, the number one song in the country was by Elvis Presley.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they began to wail.
This was 1957. On this day in 1958, Buddy Holly did what turned out to be his last studio recording session in New York, with tracks that included True Love Ways, It Doesn't Matter Anymore, Moon Dreams, and Raining in My Heart. Let's go up to 1967 now, where the number one song was by Lulu. This would be the number one song for 5 weeks. Title track from the Sidney Poitier movie, To Sir With Love. Got some album notes for you now from 1972. Superfly, the soundtrack by Curtis Mayfield, was the number one album. Let's go up to 1977, where on this day, Meatloaf released his landmark album, Bat Out of Hell. This, as we've talked about a few times, was written by Jim Steinman, produced by Todd Rundgren, one of the most popular albums of the 70s, selling over 14 million copies. It had the title track, it had Paradise by the Dashboard Light, it had Two Out of Three Ain't Bad, again released this day 48 years ago. On this day in 2006, Weird Al Yankovic's White and Nerdy, a parody of Ridin', peaks at number 9 on the Hot 100. It was the first top 10 hit for Weird Al Yankovic. On this day 3 years ago, Taylor Swift released Midnights, her 10th album. So that was her 10th album released 3 years ago today. Does it feel like she's released 10 other albums since then?
I feel like she releases a new song every day.
and is preparing for more. You've got that Life of a Showgirl tour that I'm sure is being worked up as we speak, and probably another album will drop right before that just to complicate things further. I don't know. A lot of records are being sold. And speaking of records, the history of records, on this day in 1908, the first two-sided vinyl record was offered for sale by the Columbia record label, running an ad in the Saturday Evening Post, which is pretty much how everybody got their news back in 1908. And said, wait, you can play this record on both sides?
That,
technology's amazing.
I don't know when I thought records started, but I don't know if I would have thought that they had two-sided records by 1908.
Well, they weren't listening on little cylinders, you know, the way that Thomas Edison wanted them to. So, you know, things are advancing. Let's do some birthdays. Singer Kane Brown is 32 years old today. Now the only way I know that I can get you off my mind, to keep a bottle so close, try to leave it all. Chattanooga, Tennessee's Kane Brown, 32 years old today. Kim Kardashian is 45. Which seems odd, and I'm not reflecting on her appearance. I'm saying it feels like she's been around for 45 years. And so how is it that she's 45 years old now? It just feels like we've dealt with her for so long now.
That's a good point. They give a lot of content out that makes them seem...
So much content.
Yeah.
Doja Cat is 30 years old today. And it was on this day in 2007 that Tennessee Titans kicker Rob Baranis, the late Rob Baranis, former Packer draft choice, set an NFL record for the most points scored in a game without touchdowns. He single-handedly scored 26 points, 8 field goals, and 2 extra points as the Tennessee Titans got a 10-point victory in Houston.
And, oh, God. That's so bad.
What? He could kick 8 field goals?
Well, you know, it's just... It's an awesome thing, right? Like having a lot of field goals made in a game that can, that like, that reflects great on him. It reflects horribly on his team.
Oh, without a doubt. Yes. but as the Packers have learned these past couple of weeks, never underestimate the power of having at least an adequate kicker or a good one, one that can set the record. You saw that the Packer kicker who set the record, I don't even his name is in front of me. I haven't learned the kicker's name yet.
It's like
I just know
Haverick, something like that.
Sure, we'll go with that. Yeah. I just know I saw the article that Mason Crosby congratulated him for breaking his record for the longest ever Packers field goal. But in the picture on Instagram that Mason Crosby posted, he's holding the football where he set the now old record of, I think, 58 yards.
Okay.
He's like, basically says, so what the hell am I supposed to do with this football now? It doesn't mean anything. I no longer have the Packer record. I think he'll keep it. I think he'll still get top dollar for it. Lori and Hayward on the text line. Pat, what a great way to start the day. I recognize that song by the second note. Do a diddy diddy dum diddy do. Thank you for the memories, Lori. That's that. The pleasure's all ours. Thank you for noticing that. Let's see. Before you get to the National Day calendar and some entertainment news, I want to take a moment. Usually we're looking at the text line or the comment section. Sometimes we actually get in old-fashioned mail. You know, I head down to the Chippewa Falls Post Office, P.O. Box 27, Chippewa 54729.
He's holding a postcard right now.
I'm holding, well, it's a card. It's a,
whoa.
It's a nice little.
Pat, I'll be honest with
you. People used to send cards all the time.
I didn't think that actually got use. I thought the P.O. Box was just there.
I have such a, I have so many nice cards and letters and notes. So I've got this card and I've got, now other times it's just a sticky note. Here's a sticky note that somebody sent in. And I just wanted to share both of these. Let's, this one from Margaret says, I love the news you give me daily. I understand government more. And I love how you ask our opinions. You are a breath of fresh air in a very polluted news environment. Sincerely, Margaret. So Margaret, thank you for that. And let's see, this one is, I can't make out the first name here, because again, the headlines or the handwriting is, you know, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Thank you for providing this new service. I also find it helpful when you remind me that we can make contributions on a regular basis. I appreciate your emails. So this would be about the newsletters. And yeah, every, you know, about four times a year, we do a little pledge break at Up North News and invite people to send in their contributions if they care to. And a lot of people do it online. But some people like to send an old-fashioned check and a note. Another one that was in there, I don't have it in front of me here, a Christmas card. They said, apologies, this is all I have. And so they scratched out like Christmas and put in, you know, like something about the fall season or something. I thought it was adorable.
Yes.
It was so nice.
Okay. I was worried it was for Christmas. I went, guys, no, we can't be doing this already.
No. Okay. So again, I just wanted to thank people for your cards, your notes, your letters, the texts, everything. The only thing I don't have here is a fax machine. And I don't doubt that if somebody wanted to send us a fax, they'd find a way to turn it into an email to get to us. So, all right. Thank you again for that. What's on the national day calendar for today?
Today is American Frog Day. Pat, how do you feel about frogs?
American Frog Day.
American Frog Day.
Well, they're better than those British frogs. You know, I get American Frog
Day. Right answer.
Okay. That's great. Have you ever had frog legs?
I have not. No. Have you?
There is a supper club up here that for the longest time had frog legs on the menu, but I never knew anybody that ordered them, and I'd never ordered them. And so I still imagine that back in the cooler of this kitchen is a container, a Tupperware, with just a single set of frog legs from 1994 that are just sitting there waiting for somebody to order frog legs. Yeah. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody out there will say, you know what? Underappreciated. They're actually quite good. I don't know why more people don't.
You know, I don't think I've ever heard anything about frog legs. I hear about them a lot, but I never hear an opinion on them.
No, I never have. You hear about it all the time. But as you can tell, we're putting out a very honest appeal to anybody who's had frog legs and can comment good or bad. Good, bad, or indifferent. Get in the comment section or, you know, use the app and send us a note or a voice note. I'd love a voice note going, what was your actual reaction to having frog legs? All right, what else we got today?
We've also got Back to the Future Day. I believe it's like the 40 years.
Is this the date of that was set in the car?
I didn't think of that.
21st, such and such. Because it's one of those things, you see it on social media all the time, and you don't know if it's true or if somebody's altered the video and they're just messing with you. But that, you know, what was this October 21st, 1955 or whatever? Was that the day that Marty McFly went, you know, back to the future?
Yep. And Back to the Future Part 2, Marty McFly and Doc Brown traveled to from 1985. So, yes.
From 1985. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So today is Back to the Future Day.
Yes, it is.
Great movie. Really like that. What else we got?
We have also got National Apple Day, Pat. What's your favorite kind of apple?
My favorite apple would be the Honey Crisp.
Oh yeah.
But I will occasionally enjoy a good Granny Smith.
You know? There you go.
So yeah, there's plenty of good ones out there. Yeah. I got one more.
National Pumpkin Cheesecake Day. I was not aware we were making cheesecake.
I was not aware of pumpkin cheesecake. Again, I love cherry cheesecake. You give me a really good cheesecake and you put the cherry pie filling, you know, just the Oh, that's so good. But pumpkin cheesecake, that's a new one on me.
Yeah.
Maybe it pairs well with frog legs. Who knows? I don't know.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. So much ahead here still on a Tuesday morning, October 21st, where we will talk to State Representative Francesca Hong, candidate for governor, just after the news here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, No Life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Starting October 21st, 10 o'clock in the morning, Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be opening up at the Spider Lake Youth Center here in Hayward, located at 11255 Highway 77 in Hayward, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They got lots of meats and produce available. Everyone's encouraged to come get food from the program, regardless of your financial situation. Again, check it out. Spider Lake Youth Center here in Hayward. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf starting at 10 o'clock until 3. A free children's science in a bag kit is available for you to pick up at the Hayward Library. This is recommended for grades K through 8, and it's all about Wisconsin's Science Festival, Curiosity Unleashed. This free science bag has lots of great activities for kids to be involved in. This is available through the 26th. More information is at wiscifest.org. That's wiscifest.org. Again, Wisconsin Science Festival is giving away free children's science in a bag kits at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library. Attention caregivers, there's some powerful tools for caregiver classes coming up here at the Hayward Wesleyan Church starting at 3:30 until 5:30 today. Classes help caregivers take better care of themselves while caring for a friend or relative. Whether you provide care for a spouse, partner, parent, friend at home, or a care facility, whether it's just down the block or miles away, your role is very important. These classes will help you reduce stress, improve self-confidence, manage time, set goals, solve problems, better communicate your feelings, make some tough decisions, and locate helpful resources. Attendees will receive handouts and caregiver help book, which follows the curriculum and provide additional tools throughout the caregiving issues. Again, 3:30 today at the Hayward Wesleyan Church, located at 10655 Nyman Avenue. Powerful tools for caregivers classes. For more information or to register, call 866-663-3607. I'll repeat that, 866-663-3607. Ask for Joan, and she'll be able to help you out with that. Again, caregiver classes starting at 3:30 today. A Girl Scout meeting is happening at 5 o'clock this evening for the Solon Springs School District. They'll be meeting in the cafeteria with their leader, Mary Nelson. Again, Girl Scout meeting at 5 o'clock. It's the Solon Springs Schools in the cafeteria. Girls varsity volleyball for Spooner will be playing Ladysmith High School at 7 o'clock. Again, Spooner girls volleyball, 7 o'clock at Ladysmith High School. Girls varsity volleyball for Hayward is having a home game, and they are hosting the school district of Somerset at 7 o'clock. Again, Hayward girls varsity volleyball at home, 7 o'clock against Somerset. It is Retake Picture Day at Solon Springs Schools on Wednesday. Make sure if you're going to have your pictures retaken that you're ready to do that again on Wednesday at the Solon Springs Schools. The Forest Lodge Library, located at 13450 County Highway M in Cable, is hosting tech support on Wednesday starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. If you have a device that you need help with, trouble trying to figure out your cell phone, Eric can help you with all of that and more. Bring in your device and ask questions related to tech issues anytime at the library from 10 until 3 o'clock. Everything is free. Drop-ins are welcome, or you can schedule a time with him. His contact information is 715-204-7501. Again, that's to reach out to Eric and set up an appointment for tech support at the Forest Lodge Library in Hayward. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be open again on Wednesday at 10 a.m. until 3. They are located at the Spider Lake Youth Center here in Hayward, just past the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They have lots of meats and produce, and everyone's encouraged to get food from this program, regardless of your financial situation. Again, Spider Lake Church Youth Center hosting the Northwoods Community Food Service. Power Pump starts at 4 o'clock on Wednesday at the Cable Community Center, located at 13660 County Highway M in Cable. This is a dumbbell class designed for all fitness levels, and it targets all major muscle groups by using exercise such as squats, presses, lifts, and curls. They emphasize low weight loads and high repetition. Again, Power Pump, 4 o'clock until 5 on Wednesday at the Cable Community Center. A Wednesday night supper is being hosted by the First Lutheran Church of Hayward. They're located at 10680 Main Street here in Hayward. Carry out only, just drive up to the church and someone will greet you and give you the number of meals that are needed. Again, 5 o'clock Wednesday night supper at the First Lutheran Church here in Hayward. On Thursday, October 23rd at 9 o'clock at the Seven Winds Casino Convention Center, domestic abuse, child support, and related topics will be discussed. Again, 9 o'clock on the 23rd at the Seven Winds Casino. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government shutdown now entering week number four. Among the latest casualties, about 1,400 employees at the National Nuclear Security Administration, the folks who oversee nuclear safety across the country. Energy Secretary Chris Wright saying,
"It is our national security. These are jobs of great gravity. We need to maintain our nuclear stockpile, have our adversaries confident that we have our stuff together. We have it secure and ready to deploy at a moment's notice."
He insists the furloughs are not a threat to national security. Vice President J.D. Vance and his wife are in Israel trying to shore up the shaky ceasefire in Gaza. The construction has begun on the White House ballroom, an entire side of the East Wing demolished to make way for President Trump's 90,000-square-foot space. The Louvre shut down again today, but it's always closed on Tuesdays. Detectives continuing to search for the thieves who made off with France's crown jewels.